If you got your Bibles, if you'll turn to Mark chapter 16, and Mr. John, I know this sounds familiar because you talked a little bit about that this morning. You know, Easter season has the Easter story specifically on the day that we celebrate the resurrection. There are so many topics for pastors and ministers to look at. I mean, I have preached a sermon on what was left behind in the tomb. I have to share a little funny story with you. Years ago, I was bringing a children's message during one of our services. The church I used to be at, we would have the kids come down, and I would do a children's sermon for them every Sunday morning. And this particular Sunday morning was Resurrection Sunday, just like today. And I had something called Resurrection Eggs. And in every one of those 12 eggs, there was something to do with the Easter season. There was a nail, you know, in there, and there was a little donkey in there about where Jesus rode in. There was a cross, of course. But the last egg they opened up was empty. And when they opened that up, and I asked them, I said, "Do you know why that egg is empty?" And they all said, "Because the tomb is empty. Jesus came out alive." I said, "He did." I said, "But now I want you to listen real close to Uncle Roger's message this morning." I said, "Because I'm going to show you there was something left behind in that tomb." And I don't title my sermons, but if I had titled that one, it would be "The Tomb Was Empty, But It Was Full of My Sins." Our sins were left behind in that tomb. So I told those kids, I said, "I want you to remember that there was something left behind in that tomb, even though Jesus was risen. And Matthew West was about 8 years old, and he said, "He left that blanket in there." And he was right. I said, "Well, Matthew, you're right, but there's something else left in there I want you to catch this morning." So there's all kinds of topics that come to mind on this particular Sunday morning. But today, I want to focus on what we have on the title here. Who will roll away the stone? That's something that gets mentioned in all four Gospels. And it is something that sometimes we just kind of blow past. But this morning, as we discuss this, I want you to see how I think this really applies to our lives today. Because, you know, I'm kind of a simple guy, but I do believe this. I don't believe there is one word in the Bible that is put in there by accident. I don't believe there's one word in Scripture that is not important to us. So I kind of like to look at this, you know, as it's written and really ask God, you know, show me, you know, what this means to me living in Johnston County in 2024. What does this mean to me today? What does this mean to my church? And I hope you'll get something out of this with me today. If you're looking Mark chapter 16. I could have gone to pretty much any gospel to look at this, but as Mr. John mentioned this morning, this is the action gospel. I think even though Mark is the shortest gospel, I think it's my favorite personally because Mark doesn't spend a lot of time trying to explain himself. He's almost like a news reporter on site. He's going, "This happened. You know, this is what happened." And he goes from one event to another. There's not a lot of extraneous material there, but we're going to begin in verse 1 of chapter 16. "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?' And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering to the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out from the doubt quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now, that first Easter morning when these women came to that tomb, they had one question on their minds. Who's going to roll that stone away? It was a large stone. Some theologians say that it would have probably taken about 20 men to roll that stone back, given what is known about tombs of that day. So these women had a valid question. Who's going to roll that stone away? They knew they didn't have a chance. You know, as I count them, there was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. There's three women. And how are they going to get that stone away? They wanted to anoint their Savior's body. It was going to be their last act of love to this one that had shown love to them. But how are they going to get this done? As they headed to the tomb that morning, that was the one thing on their mind. I think that's amazing. These women were wondering, who's going to roll away the tomb? They weren't worried about the guards and if the guards would even let them in. They weren't worried about we might be arrested because we might be deemed to be followers of Jesus. They weren't wondering why Peter and the other disciples, the men, didn't come with them to help them accomplish this task. They weren't concerned about how they were going to react when they saw Jesus' dead body in that tomb. All they were concerned about was who was going to roll away that stone. You know, Easter means different things for us as Christians. It's too big of a miracle to just mean one thing. Easter clearly means that Christ is risen. It means that Jesus has defeated death. Easter means that eternal life is real and death does not, or our life does not have to end when we close our eyes in death on this side of heaven. All who live and believe, the Bible says, will never truly die. You know, I've told people, you know, I love the life God has given me. I want to live, if He will allow it, I want to live for as many years as I can. I want to see what God's got in store for y'all. I want to see what God's got in store for my grandbabies, you know. I want to live long enough that they can support me, that they come by and say, Grandpa, here's $1,000. You got to do what you want. I might be dreaming. But I want to live long enough to see what God's got in store for them. I want to live long enough to see what God's got in store for me. But you know, I will tell you this, I'm not afraid of death because I believe that the day, whatever day that is that comes, when I close my eyes in death on this side of heaven, when I open them, I'm going to see the one that made it all possible. And you know what? Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. I believe that. And I believe it is all because the tomb is empty. But that stone being rolled away from the tomb, that's a detail that is recorded in all four Gospels. It tells us something else about Easter. that I think is significant. That stone being rolled away at Easter is also about the ways in which God removes obstacles in our lives. Obstacles that try and keep us from God. Obstacles that try and keep us from living the life that God has planned for us to live. Today, in our few minutes together, I invite you to think about the large stones in your life. The obstacles that are keeping you from living that abundant life that Christ intends for all of us right here and now. Right here and now. Listen, Bible says that we can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like. And I believe that. But he also tells us in his word that the life he has given us here is to be an abundant life. We're not to go through this life just, you know, with our heads down and our bottom lip just dragging the ground. It should be fun. It should be enjoyable. He's got a blessing in store for us, even in this life that we live, in this here and now. But a lot of times there are stones over the tombs we put ourselves in that keep us from living that life that Christ intended. Think about those challenges that are trying to keep you in your tombs, that trap us, that try to stop us from living. I mean, really living our new lives in Christ. And then, think about what Easter teaches us about how God plans to remove those stones. Let's think for a moment about Peter and the other men that were following Jesus, his first disciples. I admired these men. I admired these men. It said when Jesus called them, it said that they left everything that they were doing and they followed him. That's a compliment to their lives, isn't it? You know, what if God called you today to leave what you are comfortable in doing and go follow him? I mean, I don't even compare my call into the ministry to that. You know, God didn't call me to give up everything I had. He said he called me to go serve him in the ministry, and I didn't want to do that, but I did, and I have never regretted it. I promise you, I have never, ever regretted it. But God has never called me to give up everything I know and move to be a missionary, to go to a foreign country. I'm glad he hasn't called me to do that. But he called these men away from their occupations as a physician, as a tax collector, as fishermen. And they left it. They just got up and they left it. I admire that. But did you notice this? In the very first verse that we read today, there's not a man mentioned. Not one of the disciples are mentioned. There's three women that are mentioned that went to the tomb that day. Not one of the disciples went with them. They're locked away in an upper room. They are scared for their lives. They are afraid that somebody's coming for them now. They have seen Jesus crucified. They've watched him die. He's been buried. And they're all huddled together, cowering in this upper room, just not only wondering what's going to happen to us next, but they're wondering, what now? What now? We've given 3 years of our life to this man. We have followed him. What now? He's dead. How quick did they forget the blind eyes that were open? The legs that couldn't walk, that walked. How soon did they forget the dead coming back to life when he said, "Hey, Lazarus, come forth"? They forgot all of this. They forgot all. And before we're too judgmental, I submit to you, many of us, including me, would have done the same thing. I'd have probably got somewhere and hidden And I'd have probably been wondering the same thing. What now? What now? He's dead. So they didn't go with these women to the tomb. No wonder these women wondered, who's going to roll that stone away? They couldn't get his own disciples to come with them to the tomb. You see, these disciples had created a tomb for themselves, and they had put a stone in front of it of their own making. And they really didn't want that stone moved. And that includes the leader of the disciples, Peter. You know, as Mr. John mentioned this morning, Peter was the one that had denied him three times when he was arrested. And by Peter's actions in staying in that upper room and not even going to the tomb with the women, it appears that he is still denying Jesus. You know, funny little sidebar on this is Peter was a name given to this man, Simon Barjona. It was given to him by Jesus, and it literally means rock or stone. Jesus told Peter that he was going to be the stone or the rock that he was going to build his church upon. But that first Easter morning, Peter, this leader of the disciples, he is locked away in this upper room with the other disciples, and he's cowering in fear. And you might say, in the case of Peter, that the stone Peter needs rolled away in his life is himself. Sometimes that's true for all of us, isn't it? We get in our own way. We create our own tombs. And the stone covering the tomb is our very own self. And just like the disciples, we begin questioning, what now? Who's going to roll that stone away? Well, Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, he did exactly what he had promised. He showed himself to the disciples. He entered that upper room, and he rolled away their stones. By the way, I have to share this with you. I wasn't even planning on doing this, but it just comes to my mind every time I see this. I read something from a guy one time years ago, and he said, you know, Thomas, that we've come to know as Doubting Thomas, was not in the upper room the first time Jesus just appeared there. Thomas said, well, I'm not going to believe until I put my hands in the nail prints, until I put my hand in his side. And, you know, the next time Jesus appeared there, he looked at Thomas and he said, Thomas, he said, come touch my hands and put your hand in my side and don't be faithless, but be believing. And Thomas didn't even need to do that. He just bowed down and he said, my Lord and my God. I read one time a man said, you know, he said, I wish Jesus had just appeared in that upper room behind Thomas and leaned up to his ear and just said, boo. He said that would have got him to believe it. But you know what? He appears in that upper room, even the second time with Thomas, and all of the stones that covered the tombs that the disciples had put themselves in, he moves. He frees them of fear. He helps them to understand what they're going to do for him, that they're going to proclaim the good news of the gospel to the world. That's part of the Easter miracle for us as well. Our risen Lord, he enters our lives. He even enters our tombs. And by the way, before you say, Pastor, I don't have any tombs in my life, I bet you do. We all do, whether we want to admit it or not. Every one of us, instead of giving our all to Christ, I guarantee you, we look at Christ and we say, hey, Christ, here's 95% of my life, but I got this other 5%. You don't have to bother with that. No, we don't. You know what we got? We've got it until we don't got it. And I know that's not proper English. I'm glad my wife's not in here. We've got it until we don't have it. I submit to you, we need Jesus Christ in every aspect of our lives. Every aspect. There's nothing too big for him, and there's absolutely nothing too small. But he enters our lives, he enters our tombs, and he rolls away those stones that are keeping us from being all that God wants us to be. He frees us from fear and helps us to proclaim his message to the world. I submit to you, he's still rolling stones away today. Even today. You see, these women, and I really admire these three women, because they didn't need Jesus to come to that upper room. The disciples did. They're the ones that needed him to come, but they didn't. Not these women. They had courage to go to the tomb themselves, even though they didn't even know what they were going to do when they got there. And you know what? That teaches us something as well. That sometimes we need to leave our tombs in faith. We need to step out in faith. We need to come to trust God that he's going to be there to help us in our time of need. These women didn't know what they were going to do when they got there. They just knew they couldn't roll the stone away. But that didn't stop them from coming to the tomb. If Easter means anything, it certainly means that our God will be with us always, especially when we need God to be. Wasn't that one of the final promises of Jesus? Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Do you believe that? Yeah, I do too. He's with us even when we step out of our tombs in faith. But I can't let the women off quite that easily. When the women got to the tomb, the stone was already rolled away. Isn't that just like our God? The very things that we worry about, a lot of times when we finally get there, he's already rolled that stone away. How many times have you ever just kind of jacked yourself up with worry? And when you finally got to the point where the worry and the reality was going to meet, it wasn't a big deal after all, right? Stone's already been rolled away before we got there. Just like it was for these women. When they looked inside of that tomb, they saw this man dressed in white sitting on that tomb, and he spoke to them. And the Bible says that they were scared. What were they afraid of? He told them, he gave them instructions to go back and tell the disciples and Peter. There's a whole other sermon in that he signals Peter out separately, because of his love. But he says, go back and tell them that I'm going to appear before them in Galilee just like I promised. And the Bible says that these women left and they didn't say anything. They were scared. And they probably had a right to be. They were going to go back and tell somebody the stone was already rolled away. The Messiah was missing. There was a mysterious man dressed in white, and he spoke to us. What were the disciples going to think? That these women were crazy? Absolutely. I mean, we're not exaggerating this. They were going to think that they were nuts, that they had been hallucinating. I mean, they were worried about who's going to roll the stone away. Now they were wondering, are they even going to believe us about this? That fear became another stone in their life that needed to be rolled away. But here's another miracle of Easter. That stone was indeed rolled away in their life. It must have been. It must have been. Because we know the story. The women did tell the disciples. And Jesus did appear to the disciples in Galilee, just as he had promised. Jesus did forgive Peter for denying him. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to them, help them understand what had just happened and how it fulfilled this part and this promise of Scripture. And then he ascended into heaven and the Holy Spirit came. And you know what? Every last stone in the lives of the disciples was rolled away. Because there is no stone too large for God. There is no obstacle that God can't remove. Do you need proof of the resurrection this morning? I don't think there is any more convincing than this, that Peter and the other disciples that were cowering in fear in that locked upper room, that the man we've come to know and to have given the moniker of Doubting Thomas, that after the Lord appeared to him and the rest of the disciples, these men were absolutely fearless witnesses to the resurrection that you could have ever imagined. Most of them died a martyr's death, unafraid. Let me ask you something. You'll die for something you believe in, but you won't die for something you don't believe in, right? There are many, many people that have gone to foreign lands and have died in wars on foreign soils fighting for something that they believe in. And they have given their lives and their limbs for our country. They wouldn't do that if they didn't believe. Listen, these disciples would not have gone this route had they not seen with their eyes and believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. This resurrection became the cornerstone of their faith, that Christ died, rose again, and ascended to heaven and promised one day to return. No one was more fearless than these first disciples. No stone that this world could roll in front of them could stop them now. Not prison, not the threat of death, nor anything else in this world. That's a miracle. Going from cowering in fear in that upper room to dying a martyr's death. Peter even telling his captors before they put him to death, they were going to put him on a cross, and Peter says, crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy to be crucified like my risen Lord. That's a miracle. What changed? How did they go from cowering in fear in that locked upper room to boldly sharing the story of Jesus with all of the world? Who rolled that stone away for them? What else could it be? It was Jesus himself who was raised from the dead. He appeared to them. He rolled away all the stones that were stopping them from doing his work. And after he did this, they fearlessly proclaimed the good news of the resurrection of our Lord. There wasn't a stone or a trap that could stop them anymore. And you know what? That too is a miracle of Easter, not just for them, but for us as well. This quote that you see on the screen is from a man by the name of Lee Strobel. He wrote a book called The Case for Christ. If you've never read it, I encourage you to find it. He was an avowed atheist. And if I remember right, he was an attorney. He was an attorney. And he began to use the investigative techniques that attorneys use to prove a case in court. And what he eventually came up with was, there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the Messiah and is the Messiah. He says the resurrection is the supreme vindication to Jesus' divine identity and his inspired teaching. It's the proof of his triumph over sin and death. It's the foreshadowing of the resurrection of all of his followers. It is the basis of Christian hope. It's the miracle of all miracles. Easter is about an empty tomb, but it's so much more. It's about our risen Lord with us always, rolling the stones away and the obstacles in our lives. It's about God helping us to live our lives without fear, following the risen Savior wherever He leads us. Easter means that there is no tomb we find ourselves in that Christ can't free us from. There's no stone in front of that tomb that God cannot roll away, regardless of how we got there. God doesn't want us to stay there. God wants to free us from whatever it is that is keeping us from the new life in Christ that the miracle of Easter offers to all of us. So this morning, don't be afraid. Trust in God. Believe in God's Son, Jesus. Rejoice in God's love for you. And do not worry about who will roll the stone away for you, whatever that stone might be. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. As we move into our communion service, I want to remind you that the disciples were gathered in another upper room about 3 days earlier. They were gathered there with Jesus. They were celebrating the Passover. It was a tense time because the attitude of the people had changed from one of Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, to crucify him, kill him. And they were afraid. The disciples were afraid. They knew that something terrible was on the horizon. But as Jesus shared this Last Supper with his disciples, he used the bread and the cup to illustrate the sacrifice that he was about to make. It changed everything for humanity from that day forward. So today, as we celebrate his resurrection, that first Easter, we also celebrate his sacrifice. Because you see, without one, you can't have the other. You can't have the other. The sacrifice made our forgiveness possible. The resurrection assures that death has no grip on the children of God. Praise our Father Almighty for his unspeakable gift.